بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 10 from Surah A'raf. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشْ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Certainly we have established you on the earth and made in it various means of livelihood for you. Little do you thank. After a very brief summary of what Allah expects us to do on the earth, and what consequences would follow if we disregard that, both in this world and the Day of Judgment, now we start seeing an elaborate account of the history of human being on the earth. Right from the beginning, the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and then the way human history unfolded from a perspective, of course, which is very different from our perspective. When we want to write history, there are certain things which are very important for us. Important politicians, important scientists, and whatever we usually a historian would include in their history. That's the way we write the history. And of course, the way Allah wants to, if we think that Allah wants to write a history of human race on the earth, he would write it from a different perspective. And there are certain things which are more important for him than for us. Of course, when I say for him, the way he wants to present it to us. And this is how the Quran and other scriptures as well have used history. Certain elements, certain communities, civilizations, which could be brought as an example to us of what, of course, we saw in the beginning of this surah, that if you disobey what I say, if you follow awliya other than Allah, as we had in the second verse of the surah, then there will be consequences, and you can see the examples in these certain people. So, some people ask, why civilizations like Ad and Thamud and Fir'aun and similar civilizations mentioned in the Quran, why are they repeated again and again? Why not any other civilization is mentioned as an example? Well, there are two reasons for this. First, these were very highly exemplar of what Allah wants to mention to us. Ad and Thamud and Fir'aun and Lut and others. And secondly, of course, when Quran speaks to a people, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ, when we send a messenger, he should speak to the language of his people. And language, of course, here includes cultures, understandings, information, and therefore Quran cannot talk about civilizations which were not known for Arabs at all, because those could not be brought, couldn't have been brought as an example for them. Therefore, its scope of history is limited to these two factors. However, within that we see very, very big exemplars. Now, of course, here the beginning of the history starts with creation of Adam and Eve, alayhimus salam, and then their story, the way they dealt with Shaitan or Iblis. وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, certainly we established you on the earth. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشْ. مَكَّنَّاكُمْ is from tamkeen. Tamkeen is to give means and remove the obstacles so that one can do something. And this is what exactly Allah have done with regards to us. He has given us the means of living and has removed the obstacles of living. For example, if the earth was going to shake all the time, there was an obstacle for living. Although he might have been given us living, but there was an obstacle for living. If, for example, the temperature of the earth was so high or so low that we couldn't have lived, still that was an obstacle. So, مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ means we gave you every means of living and removed all the obstacles so that you could have been established on the earth. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشْ and we put for you there, made for you various types of ma'ishah. Now, ma'ayish is the plural of ma'isha. Ma'isha may be taken as a masdar, that's a verbal noun, and that means living. And it may be taken as a noun itself, and it means of living. So ja'alna lakum fiha ma'ayish means we have put for you different means of living, or we have made for you possible to live on the earth. We have put for you livelihood, not means of livelihood on the earth. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ little do you thank. Again, this is like the sentence we had before, قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ little you are reminded, or little you take heed. Here, little you give thanks, تشكرون. And this is, of course, a sentence which implies recommendation that you have to thank more. Now, thanking God is, of course, impossible in the sense that giving something back to Him in place of what He has given to us. So the exegetes have been very difficult in describing what the meaning of thankfulness is, what is shukr. And the traditions, of course, have come to help here, and they say that shukr is, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-i'tirafu bin-ni'mah ma'at-ta'zim, to confess that the ni'mah, that what you have, the bounties we have, is from Allah, with a sort of course, seeing that as a sign of humbleness in you and greatness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you see that whatever you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that makes Allah in your eyes great, that makes Him awesome, something that you revere, then this is the meaning of thankfulness. And they also say that kullu shukrin hamdun wa laysa kullu hamdin shukrun. Every thanksgiving is a praise. When you actually have this feeling in you that whatever Allah has given you is from Him, you are in a way praising Him. And this would, of course, elevate the status of your soul, because every praise would elevate the status of human soul. On the other hand, not every praise may be a thanksgiving. For example, you may see something very beautiful, very awesome, and you praise God for creating that. You praise God for having the power and knowledge and wisdom to create that. However, that is not related to you, so you do not give Him thanks. So, in the same way that all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all shukr is due to Him as well eventually, while we have to be thankful of the means as well. This is human nature. We have to be thankful of the means as well. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرَ الْمَخْلُوقِ لَمْ يَشْكُرَ الْخَالِقِ. Whoever does not give thanks to a makhluq, to someone who has done a favor to them, then he does not thank the Khaliq, the Creator, as well. Why is that so? Because if you have this sense of thanksgiving inside you, you use it in every occasion. You use it for someone as a human being who gives you something and you use it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have it, you don't use it for anyone. If you do not thank other human beings who favor you, your parents, your friends, your brothers, sisters, then you don't have that feeling in you to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why it's important to develop these feelings, these concepts inside one with regards to others, so that we have it with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Now, I want to mention something which comes in the words of many mystics here as well, that they say, in your life you have to develop love towards others. Now, be it your friends, your spouses, your parents, and this love would actually enable you to develop love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, because the root is the same. The root is the same, and this is very important, that you should have, of course, initially all these feelings are inside our fitrah, but we have to develop it, we have to let it grow, and this is certainly possible by showing it in our social life and in our relationship to our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this was, of course, again, a very, very summarized version of what is going to come afterwards. That we created you, we enabled you to live on the earth by giving you the means, by removing the obstacles, but, of course, you do not give thanks. And the recommendation is that you have to give thanks more. One other question which comes up here is that why should we always, always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And why Allah always mentions His ni'mah for us? Is it good for someone to always, for someone who has done a favor to you, always mention it to you? And this is what we see in the Quran, of course, we see in traditions, that Allah, not only He mentions His ni'mah to us all the time, but He asks us to thank Him. And if you see a human being in this pattern, in this model, that always mentioning a favor to you and always asking you, why don't you thank me? You haven't thanked me enough. This is very mean, of course, when a human being mentions this to you, it's very mean. Is it not mean with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, if it was just for Him that He requires us to thank Him because of His, say, for example, na'udhu billah, selfish attitude, of course, this is wrong. There's no difference here between human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, here, thanksgiving is for the benefit of us, and that's why it's always mentioned. If we forget the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we forget what He has given us, and we do not give thanks, we transgress, our soul would not stretch high towards the spiritual realm. By thanksgiving, of course, our soul stretches out towards the spiritual realm. We become somehow wishful to go into that realm of angels, to the realm of al-mala'ul a'la, and that is the purpose of mentioning all His ni'mas all the time and asking us to give thanks. However, He has says, of course, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever gives thanks is for yourself, it's not for me. If you give thanks, you raise, you come up, you lift yourself. If you don't give thanks, you go down. You make yourself mean in that sense. And if we come to human realm as well, if you do me a favor, certainly you may not require me to give thanks, but it is very mean of me not to thank you. And this is the relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since we are very heedless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to mention it to us, has to remind us that you have to give me thanks so that you do not make yourself mean and become transgressors. Now, of course, we move here to the process of creation. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ Certainly we created you, then we formed you. Then we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. So they prostrated all except Iblis. He was not among those who prostrated. Now, there are several questions here. First of all, what's the difference between khalaqnakum and sawwarnakum? We created you and we formed you. Certainly, every creation is a change in form. Creation has two meanings, and that's why somehow we are puzzled by some theological discussions, because they use creation in two meanings. One meaning of creation is to bring out from nothingness. This is the meaning of خلق السماوات والأرض. If we say that he has brought the heavens and earth out of nothingness, which of course that does not imply that. I will discuss that shortly. The other meaning is to change the form of what is already existing. In the first sense, bringing out of nothingness, certainly human beings, nothing, angels, high souls, nothing can be a creator. The only creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because no one can bring anything out of nothingness. No one can give existence to anything else except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what actually made the whole discussion between Mu'tazila and Asha'ira about creation of our acts, whether we are the creators of our acts or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of our acts. And then, of course, the Asha'ira, they wanted to keep and preserve the omnipotence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that nothing in this world happens without the power of Allah. And therefore, they compromised the justice of Allah. They said, well, when the Mu'tazila asked them, okay, you say that Allah, our actions are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so even our sins are created by him. How is it possible that Allah creates our sins and punishes us for that? They said, well, he can do whatever he wants. So they compromised justice because they wanted to keep this omnipotence of Allah, the full power of Allah. On the other side, Mu'tazila, they wanted to give the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said, we are the creators of our acts, of our sins. Allah has nothing to do here with that. And when they were questioned, okay, you are compromising the omnipotence of Allah, that Allah is the only power, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is the main, of course, teaching of Islam. They said, if we do not say that, if we do not say that we are the creators of our acts, then Allah would not be just. So they went for justice. They compromised the omnipotence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For our imams, of course, they said, not this path and not that path. Not this extreme and not that extreme. We can keep both omnipotence of Allah and his justice. And we say, لا جبر ولا تفويض بل أمر بين الأمرين. It's not compulsion, as the Ash'ari say. It's not delegation of creation to us, as the Mu'tazila would think. There is something in between. I don't want to discuss that now, because that's a very long theological discussion. However, the meaning of khalq, which is used in the Quran, is not the first sense, bringing out of nothingness. It is to change the form of something, to create something out of something else. This is the meaning of khalq. And this, of course, could be used for human beings. We can also be the creators, and we are. We have created very fascinating things in this world. By using the material already exists, which already exists, we have created many wonderful things in this world, and Allah knows what else is going to be created by us in future. So in this sense, we can be creators as well. And this meaning has been used in the Quran. For example, about Jesus, peace be on him, وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ لَكُمْ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَتَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِي. You created, look at the sort of expression, you created for them out of mud something like a bird, and you blew in it, and it became a bird, as a miracle, as the miracle of Isa alayhi salam. So this meaning is used, and khalaqnakum here again has that meaning, that we created you out of the material already existing. It also may mean that we brought you out of nothingness, depending which meaning of khalq we take. However, if we take it in the second sense, then sawarnakum, what does it mean? Because creation is to give a new form. So what is the other form that was given to us? Here, many exegetes have said that this sawarnakum is the human form. The creation was the body, creation of the body. We created your body out of mud or whatever the Quran mentions. خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. Then we blew from our spirit into you. We gave you a form which is unique. No other creation has this form. So initially we created you, then we gave you that form, which is the human form, having free will, having feelings, having understanding, having intelligence, just as the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not like Allah, of course, laysa kamithlihi shay', just as an example of how he wills, how he can have different acts. We can have that, but these acts from us comes out of feelings, of course, from him. What we call feelings come from his acts rather than acts coming from feeling. Again, that's another theological discussion. I don't want to go through that. So, we created you. ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then we said to the angels, أُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ. Now, here, of course, we created you, then we formed you, then we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, would imply that Adam was created after us. Now, after some of us, those who have tried to say that Adam alayhi salam was not the first human being on the earth, before him there were other human beings as well, which may have been created through different means, whether by creation theory or by evolution theory, whatever, they say that Allah had created man before Adam alayhi salam, and Adam was a unique member of this species, which of course had the command of Allah to angels to prostrate for him. Those who say no, Adam was the first person on the earth, first human being. Now both of these theories are equally possible. Both of these theories are equally possible, because in many traditions also we have there were things, some species like human beings living on the earth before Allah created Adam alayhi salam, and before he ordered angels to prostrate before him. But what we see now as human race on the earth are all children of Adam alayhi salam. The other species have extinguished or have been destroyed long, long time before that. We do not know how long. We do not know how long has passed since the creation of Adam alayhi salam. There are traditions which are somehow influenced by Israeliyat, by accounts of the Bible, which puts the life of human being on the earth to be about 7,000 years. Of course, the origin of this is the Bible, as I said. However, this is very, very improbable. In our sources, we don't have anything like that. In the Quran, we don't have anything like that. On the contrary, the Quran implies that the life of man on the earth is not something that we can count or give an account of. In traditions also, the Prophet, peace be on him, says that because we have some traditions taking the genealogy of the Prophet, peace be on him, from Abdullah, his father, to Adam, alayhi salam. Now, again, this is influenced by Israeliyats, because they have taken the lineage which goes up to Ibrahim, alayhi salam, from some Arab sources, and then they take up from there from the Jewish sources. And the Prophet said, do not do that. إِذَا بَلَّغَتُمْ نَسَبِي إِلَىٰ عَدْنَانَ فَأَمْسِكُوا. When you take up my genealogy to Adnan, who was the 20th grandfather of the Prophet, peace be on him, then stop, because after that you don't know. قال الله تعالى, this is what the Prophet said, وَقُرُونًا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا. He says, these nations that we have mentioned, there are many, many nations going between them that you don't know of them. And therefore, it is impossible for us to know the duration of the life of man on the earth. Even if we say Adam alayhi salam was not the first human being, we cannot say he was created 7,000 years ago. It may have been 70 million years ago. So, ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ. As I said, this delay that we first created you, gave you human form, then we said to the angels, to prostrate to Adam. Some have tried to say that this implies the existence of human beings on the earth before Adam. Some have said, no, that does not imply it. It just means that after we finished the creation of Adam alayhi salam, we blew from our spirit into him, then we told the angels to prostrate for Adam. أُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا Iblis lam yakum min as-sajidin. Now, sajda, of course, you shouldn't think the prostration of angels is like our prostration. This is absolute anthropomorphism, that we think that their prostration is just like us bowing down, putting their foreheads on the ground. They don't have foreheads, they don't have our shape. So we have to go to the roots of the word sujood when we want to give it a meaning with regards to angels. And sujood, in its essence, in the root of the word, it means al-inqifad, something which is low. And to make one lower, to humble oneself. This is the meaning of sujood. And this meaning, to humble oneself, is mentioned in the Quran as well, in other places. And therefore, when Allah says, ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ أُسْجُدُوا لَآدَمَ, means we ask the angels to humble themselves for Adam alayhi salam. Something which, of course, was very, very strange for the angels. They didn't know why this has been asked from them. Why Allah has asked them to humble themselves for something which looks much lower than them. And therefore, they started to doubt the wisdom of this act, or this command, the wisdom of this command. And what is mentioned in the Quran is actually the expression of that empuzzlement by the angels. Angels are intelligent beings. Usually we think that angels do whatever they do mechanically. Allah has programmed them in that way, and they act like that. It's not the case. They have intelligent, they act according to their intelligence. And therefore, if something looks to them contrary to wisdom, they are puzzled. Now, nothing that Allah does looks contrary to wisdom for them. One very special feature of angels is their wisdom. They can be ranked actually by their wisdoms. And therefore, the higher ranks of angels have more wisdom and more intelligence. Now, more intelligence. The Quran says the angels who were part of Al-Mala'ul A'la, the higher community of angels, Jibreel, Israfil, these are the higher community of angels, and many other angels which we do not know, of course, they were puzzled. Why? Because in their understanding, in their intelligence, there was no wisdom in this, that they should humble themselves for something which they understood as lower than themselves. This goes against the wisdom which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have installed in them. And therefore, they started to discuss it among themselves. Yes, the angels may discuss things that they may not understand. As we have in Surah Sa'd, ma kana li, we discussed this before, ma kana li min ilmin bil mala' al-a'la idh yahtasimun. I have no knowledge about mala' al-a'la, the angels of the higher rank, when they were disputing and discussing among themselves. When they were disputing among themselves, idh qala rabbuka lil mala'ikati inni khaliqun basharan min teen. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When Allah said, I'm going to create a bashar out of mud, min teen, and when I create it, you humble yourselves before him. This puzzled them. And they, of course, they did not dare to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started to dispute among themselves. What is it? Why Allah is asking us to do this? What is this creature? And of course, there is an implication that the type of bashar were known to angels. Again, there were bashar existing before Adam alayhi salam. إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ طِينٍ. Now I'm going to create a bashar from mud. Apparently, the bashar was being created in a different process before. Now I want to create something out of mud. When I create him, prostrate. And they had seen, according to some exegetes, the way these bashar lived on the earth, killing each other, spilling blood, bloodthirsty, very untamed, so to speak, dangerous animals. So they asked, that's why Allah is asking us to prostrate. Now, of course, their knowledge was limited. Again, this shows that angels do not know everything. Even the higher angels, the archangels, they do not know everything. And there was something which was hidden in this creation, which unfortunately is hidden for ourselves as well. There is something in us which is hidden for us. And that's why we as well ask, why did Allah ask the angels to prostrate for Adam? Exactly the same question that they ask, we ask as well. Why? Because of course Allah said, Alam aqul lakum inni a'lamu ghayba as-samawati wal ard. I know the unseen, you don't know it. There is something unseen in this creature that you cannot see, you cannot appreciate. And the angel said, whatever you say, of course, even if our wisdom cannot take it, we prostrate. So every angel prostrated. فَسَجَدُوا. Here, of course, this dispute between angels and the questions answered, which are mentioned in Surah Baqarah, they are not mentioned here. Just briefly, because it wants to give history of human creation. It's not talking about the angels and what happened on the moment of creation of Adam alayhi salam. So it says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. Certainly we created you, then we formed you, then we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam. Humble yourself. فَسَجَدُوا. So they all prostrated except Iblis. He was not among those who prostrated. I did not mention one thing, and that is those who say there were no human beings before Adam alayhi salam on the earth. How do they explain, we created you first and then said to the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam? Because for those who say before Adam there were human beings, that makes sense. We created you first and then we said to Adam to prostrate to angels. For those who say Adam was the first human being, what does it mean? We created you first and then we said to angels to prostrate. Well, here khalaqnakum means khalaqna abakum. We created your father. We created your type. And Adam is actually the the type from which we, from whom we are created. Here, if you go to the first couple of verses, there is something very interesting, which has interested many people here, and that is in the second verse after Alif Lam Mim Sad, it says Kitabun Unzila Ilayk. This book has been sent down to you, with the meaning of the descent that we mentioned. And in the following verse, it says Ittabi'u ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum. Follow whatever has been descended to you. So is this book sent to the Prophet or sent to us? Unzila ila nabi or unzila ilayna? The verses say it's both. What I have sent down to the Prophet is actually for you. I haven't sent it down for him. It's for you. But because you could not take it, you didn't have the capacity to receive it, we sent it to someone so that he would convey it to you. So it could be said that the book which was revealed to the Prophet was revealed to us. Unzila ilaykum, ittabu ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum. What has come down to you? And here, khalaqnakum thumma sawwarnakum means we created your type, Adam alayhi salam. And then we said to the angels, prostrate before him. Now, only Iblis did not prostrate. The main, of course, question of all times, was Iblis an angel? Or he was not an angel. And we have this dispute going among exegetes as well. Sheikh Tusi rahmatullah alayhi, who is of course the one of the architects of Shiite thought in theology, in jurisprudence, in hadith, and in tafsir, of course he has tafsir al-Tibyan, he says that Iblis was one of the angels. Now, most other exegetes say that no, Iblis was not an angel. He was a jinn. And they bring as a witness the verse in Surah Al-Kahf, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. He was one of jinn. Now, of course, most Shiite exegetes have tended to say that Iblis was from jinn. Most Sunni exegetes have tended to say that Iblis was from the angels. The most remarkable and renowned Shiite exegete, Sheikh Tusi, says that he was from the angels. So we have, inshallah, to resolve this dispute next week, to bring the arguments of both sides and see that what was the type of Iblis in himself. Certainly, as some modern thinkers would say, that Iblis is not a real thing. This is somehow mentioned in some Mu'tazili tafsir as well. It's just a metaphor for the evil inside human being. We have to discuss that as well, and see if the ayat and riwayat would support that idea as well. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I will now have some time for questions and answers.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as
salam. You said that people were created before Adam alayhi salam. So were they left misguided, or were there any messengers sent to them or any books?
Well, those traditions which talk about those species, they were actually something between human and animal. And therefore, they didn't have this idea of taklif, and because taklif, the duty. When we talk about duty, then we need guidance. What is our duty? So they didn't have this duty, and therefore they do not have the type of heaven and hell that we have, the children of Adam, alayhi salam, after Allah blew from his spirits and made us spiritual as well as physical. Since they were like animals, so no, they didn't have prophets or anything.
Sheikh, thank you. As we discussed that the present Bashar was created from mud, is there any reference as to the Bashar before the other Bashars, the prior to Adam, from what material they were created?
Well, of course, they were created out of earth like other animals. The animals are also created from mud, but not in that extraordinary way that Adam was created. What we know about human being is that the only human, or the only two humans, who were created out of mud directly were Adam and Eve. Otherwise, then, of course, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ جَعَلْنَا نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ. Then there was, of course, reproduction and these things, like ordinary reproduction of all animals on the earth. We don't know how the creation was done in the first place when Allah started to create the species. We have, of course, two different theories, the evolutionist theory and creationist theory, the creation of every species separately, or the creation of each species from previous species. Both of them can be right, but this does not mean that Adam was part of this. What Quran specifically mentions is that Adam was extraordinarily created as a miracle. And that is why when the Christians of Najran argued with the Prophet that how is it possible that someone is born without a father except that he is son of God, then the verse was revealed that إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَىٰ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلَ آدَمٍ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The example of Isa alayhi salam is like the example of Adam alayhi salam. He created him after mud. He did not have both, neither father nor mother. Now, in this sense, we can say that the origin of the creation of all of us, children of Adam, hopefully all of us are children of Adam, all of us children of Adam, is from mud, in the way that Allah created him, and then he sets the process of reproduction. And those who were created before Adam, we really don't know. This is something that our knowledge yet cannot say. There is a big, strong guess of evolution, but I don't know. This is just, in my view, it's still a guess.
I want to just ask, Sheikh, I just want to ask, is there anyone who can see angels? Any ayatollahs or anyone? What is the reason why humans can't see angels? Because they are they like human beings? Are they better looking than human beings?
No, the reason we cannot see them is because they are not physical.
Oh, they're not physical?
Mm. Certainly they are not physical. They live in a different dimension of this world, which could not be seen by our eyes. Just like the souls who pass away, they live in a different dimension that our eyes cannot catch them. However, sometimes they can take physical form, or they can appear as physical forms. And when they do that, people can see them. There are two different ways of seeing the angels. Either they have to appear in physical form, like, for example, the way they appear to Maryam, peace be on her. Mm-hmm. Or the way they appear to the Ibrahim and his wife when they went as three people and were their guests. They actually thought that these are human beings and they prepared food for them. And when they saw that they cannot eat, they were somehow afraid. Or even very evil people, like the people of Lot, they could see the angels when they appeared in physical form, and they wanted them to see them. This is one way of one possibility of seeing the angels. The other possibility is that we go to that dimension, which is of course very rare for human beings. It's not possible for us while we live to go to that dimension. Inshallah, after we die, we see them as nice creatures, inshallah.
Is it necessarily true that we're all children of Adam, and how is that conceptually possible if they were the first two human beings, and how is it possible?
Is it necessarily what, sorry?
True that we're all children of Adam,
All of us, okay. Yeah.
Is it true? Is it necessarily true? Can it be possible that we're children of someone, something else?
There is a possibility, but let's not contemplate on that, because that, then that would bring racism. We can just dump each other. You are not from children of Adam. And of course, you can bring the hadith of the Prophet who said, "Kullukum min Adam wa kull wa Adam min turab." All of you are from Adam, and Adam was from dust. But the other side then can say that, well, he was addressing the Arabs, and of course, Arabs, all of them were from Adam alayhi salam. There may be some other race on the earth that they are not children of Adam, and then that brings the question whether they are accountable for what they do, because only children of Adam are accountable for what they do because of that spirit blown into them. The, of course, 99% of all the documents and sources would tell us that the previous species who were not from Adam, they have extinguished, and therefore every human being that now lives on the earth are from descendants of Adam alayhi salam.
Just ask how that's conceptually possible in terms of if you have Adam and Eve and they have children, mm-hmm. then how does it work from there on? Unless there are other human beings.
You mean in terms
well.
Of children, sisters and brothers marrying each other?
Yeah.
We have two different accounts of that. And one account is that for Adam alayhi salam, for his children, it was an exception. They could marry each other. And then the command came that it was forbidden. This is the famous account. The other account is that their wives were also created for them. And therefore, it was not marriage between brothers and sisters. They were created wives, and they married them. And then from there on, there was this process of reproduction.
Which is the more accepted view?
The
more accepted view.
The traditions from our Aimma accept the second one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Just talking about Adam and Eve, what color skin were they? What race? Were they Indian? Were they Iranian? Were they British? Were they Africans? Because, you know, my mind up to this day, I get so confused, you know, because there's Chinese race in this world, Japanese. They all look different. I mean, from Adam and Eve, how did you get so many colors, so many color skin and eyes? And, you know, I just can't come to understand.
Yeah.
I'm sure there must be more than Adam and Eve.
Well, it depends how you define Britishness. If you say, were they British? Apparently, the place where they actually started their life on Earth was somewhere around in Syria. And therefore, you can imagine that they have that complexion of sort of what we see nowadays in Aramaic or Arab Semitic sort of structure. Why, of course, the people have different colors and different appearance. This, of course, has happened through thousands of centuries and through migrations, through living in different areas in terms of climate and all these things. And also, yes, I mean, the genes may have brought about this difference, and then it has continued in certain lines of descendants. This is something which no one knows.
With regard to the possible creation before Adam, is that possible evidence of evolution? And secondly, you briefly mentioned the creation of heavens and the earth wasn't just created, so how would that sit with scientific theories of a Big Bang and other creation theories of the cosmos?
Yeah. Evolution, as I said, it's a scientific theory, and it's a grand theory, and grand theories are usually big guesses, and therefore we may believe in it or we may not believe in it. A theory that that requires your belief, a theory that requires your faith, means that it is not established yet. The facts cannot establish it as yet. However, some scientists now, they say that it is very firmly established. So that's, we have to wait and see how we can establish evolutionist theory or creationist theory. About creation of heavens and earth, as I said, it was not creation out of nothingness. It was creation out of something else. And as I explained last week, according to what we understand from the Quran and traditions, heavens and earth were created from the mass of water which existed before, was created before. What was before that we don't know, was created before, and therefore it was khalq in the sense of changing the form rather than bringing out of nothingness. Of course, Allah is as well fatarus samawati wal ars. Fatar means bringing out of nothingness. Fatara is different from khalaqa. Khalaqa is to change the form. Fatara is to bring out of nothingness. He is fatarus samawati wal ars, and he is khaliqus samawati wal ars, the creator and the one who brings out of nothingness, who gives existence, actually. It was out of water. This does not go very well with the Big Bang theory. And, of course, there are now lots of doubts raised about the Big Bang theory. It's a grand theory anyway, so we may just listen and give it a possibility. But, as I said, according to what we understand from the sources, what was before heavens and earth were water, was water.
Sheikh, this event of the creation of Adam, is this when Iblis became Shaitan? And is there any indication that he maybe was responsible for fomenting the descent within the angels as he does with human beings today?
This is the moment when Iblis became Shaitan, of course, yes. But no, he didn't have that rank to be able to actually penetrate the wisdom of angels. Shaitan never can penetrate the wisdom of angels, and that's why angels are quite immune from Shaitan. Shaitan always uses ignorance, and wisdom is the weapon that people can use against Shaitan. Wherever there is wisdom, Shaitan is not present. Wherever there is ignorance, Shaitan is present. Therefore, the question of angels was actually the limit of their wisdom. They could not see by their wisdom the reason behind the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they disputed among themselves. They did not dispute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, they said, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. You are putting someone as your vicegerent who sheds blood and transgresses on the earth. This is something, again, they did not want to question God. They wanted to clarify for themselves the situation.
Sheikh, thank you very much for your lecture.
Thank you.
Sheikh, you explained that there is something worthy within the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is man, which actually deserves the reverence of angels. Is this quality universal in man, or is it reserved for the Imam, the Prophet, or is it something that is within every man?
Yeah, the potential is within every man, of course, but the fulfillment of that potential, the realization, does not happen for everyone. However, in the process of human evolution, so to speak, not evolution in type, but evolution in person, as we evolve to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be realized for most of human beings. And the realization is actually to be present in paradise. And paradise is that wisdom which is placed in human being, which goes beyond every wisdom. So the short answer is that the potential is in every human being, but realization of it is not.
Prostration to Adam, was that just figurative? Is that prostration to man, or is it specifically for Adam that the prostration was?
It was prostration for probably that potential. which would come about, and every human being would have that reverence if they actualize the potential. We have traditions which indicate actually the humbleness, humiliation of angels or humbling themselves was for actually those who realized. Because some of our traditions, I don't know whether this is sectarianism or not, say that they prostrated to Adam because of what was in his loan, in his back of the actually prophets and A'imma alayhi salam, especially Prophet Muhammad and A'imma alayhi salam. That somehow smacks of sectarianism, but there is a truth in it, that Adam including and other prophets and Osiya, all of them were actually worthy of that reverence which the angels were commanded to prostrate for.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
I just wanted to ask about the fact that the angels had the wisdom, and as you said, that they did discuss this request from Allah, or this command from Allah. So did they comply because because they chose to comply? Where does the free will come in? Or did they comply because, you know, although they had the discussion, they didn't really have a choice not to comply?
They, of course, they have choice not to comply, but they never use that evil choice. The difference between angels and human beings is that both of them, of course, have free will and choice, because that is what is required from wisdom and intelligence. However, they never go for evil, but human beings go for evil. Why? Because they don't have desires for evil. And that's why human beings can go beyond angels, because Allah has put the desire for evil in them. And if they actually suppress it, then they go beyond angels. Now, they prostrated anyway. However, after they prostrated, Allah told Adam, actually showed them why I have asked you to prostrate. Allah asked Adam that give them the names that they do not know. So allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha thumma 'aradahum 'ala al-mala'ika faqala anbi'uni bi'asma'i haula in kuntum sadiqin qalu la ilma. They saw the limit of their wisdom and knowledge, and then they saw that Adam went beyond that, and then it was actually completely absorbed by them that this command was in compliance with wisdom. So they were satisfied, they were content later on, but the whole idea was that they should have prostrated before knowing it. That was the main thing. Yeah.
I think we'll take one more question from Ms. Anko.
Sorry.
Alaykum
as-salam.
So can you just switch the mic on? Can you switch the microphone on so that we...
Your mic is not on, I think, or... Yeah.
Sorry. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Talking about the focus Allah had in mind, is it the spirits which we believe were created, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before that Adam? Is there any mention in the Quran, and where is it mentioned?
No, it's not mentioned in the Quran, certainly. There are some traditions which talks about creation of shadows, so to speak, before creation of Adam alayhi salam, and some souls. However, these are so confusing that we just better not try to understand them, because trying to understand them would make everything difficult and confusing. So what this is talking about is that Adam was the first creation of Allah on the earth as a human being composed of soul and body. And we know certainly our prophets, A'imma, all other prophets, they were created later as human beings composed of soul and body. Was it possible that souls of some humans, like A'imma or the prophets, were created before Adam alayhi salam? There's a possibility, but then we have to say that Adam's soul was also created before that. So, as I said, it's very difficult to explain such traditions.
Question or really statement. I think to understand some of the questions raised today, and particularly things relating to genetic evolution of how races and colors have developed, I think it is important for us to understand a little bit in the context of what is the duration between Adam to now. And I understand the Prophet's hadith of not going beyond the genealogy. But just understanding in absolute terms the number of years, if you like, would a simple calculation as follows help us? 124,000 prophets, discount 20% for those who have been present more than one prophet at any one time, leaves you with 100,000. Life expectancy average 50 years, that's 5 million years.
5 million years. Yeah, very good. Very good calculation. Yeah. But do not limit it to 5 million. It may be more.
So I'm just saying it's millions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So everything's possible about millions.
Yeah. So you are rejecting the Bible's idea of 7,000 years.
It's not. Well, I calculate if you have 10 prophets at any one time, or 15 prophets, if it's only 7,000.
That's true. Yeah. Thank you very much. That was a very good comment.
Okay, anything for the end there? Thank you very much, Shaykh. Salawat.
Allahumma salam.